Welcome to the Founders Odyssey podcast. The journey of a founder is unlike any other. The chips are seemingly stacked against you as an entrepreneur, but the burning desire to revolutionize the world and leave a lasting impact is stronger now than ever with many founders. Our podcast looks to inspire the next generation of entrepreneurs to pursue their next great idea, educate them on how to make this impossibility a reality, and create a supportive group of entrepreneurs who are there for their fellow founders. Our podcast features only the highest performing entrepreneurs who have bootstrapped, raised funds, built companies, sold companies, and have experienced life-altering challenges and some significant triumphs. Join us on this journey with the Founders Odyssey podcast and listen in on this upcoming episode. Welcome to the Founders Odyssey podcast, where we educate, inspire, and create a supportive community for our fellow founders. Today, we are joined by Joe May. Joe is a multipreneur, investor, attorney by trade, ambitious marketing talent, video marketing expert, and a detail-oriented mastermind. With these specific skill sets, he, in collaboration with his team, has created and scaled their marketing company creatively to assist in their clients receiving over $300 million plus in revenue, and have developed an investment arm to assist in funding different companies they believe have significant growth potential. Throughout his many years of experience growing, scaling, consulting, developing systems, and taking action to build companies, Joe has cemented himself as a go-to entrepreneur in the U.S. market. Let's welcome Joe to part one of our Founders Odyssey podcast interview. Welcome, Joe.
Cool. Thanks for having me, Nathan.
Absolutely. So tell us a little bit about where you're at right now and what got you into the game of entrepreneurship and what propels you forward.
So I got into entrepreneurship kind of backwards. I went to law school. I was an attorney for a couple of years, hated it. And then I got on at a startup called Freshly Picked and was running their operations and doing in-house counsel, and just never looked back. From there, I started my own company, and then I joined creatively as a partner about a year and a half ago.
Well, starting your own company, you must have been inspired by somebody in your life or some mentor of some sort. You know, that's what typically happens with entrepreneurs, but what really sparked you to the next level to start your own thing?
Good question. I describe it as when I started working for the startup, the first one I went to, it like was like, oh, this is what I'm supposed to do. And it was just, that was it. Once I came with an idea, it was like, I just kind of knew that's what I was doing. It wasn't like trying to emulate anyone. It was just like, this is what I was put on the earth to do. Basically, it just kind of was like, it was such a good fit for my personality, the way I thought about things, that I was just in.
So let's share with the audience a little bit about your personality and about really what's your makeup, because a lot of founders out there have different backgrounds, right? Different personalities. So what do you think your personality is, and how did you, you know, how did you really define exactly what your personality is?
That's a good question. I don't know if, I mean, for me, the way I just, I'm very good at just like taking ideas and running with them and not needing a lot of direction, and just kind of getting into entrepreneurship, really connected with that, I guess, and being able to focus on that and, I don't know. That's a good question. I mean, this is the way I think, and you've done a lot of entrepreneurship stuff, and this, I think this will connect with you. When you hear an idea, like a really good idea that somebody else came up with, rather than thinking of like, oh, that's a lot of risk, it's more of like, ah, oh, that was genius. Or even when you think of an idea, like I'm going to go launch this idea, you don't think of any of the risk. Like, what if I fail? Your only risk is, what if I'm not first? And I think like, if that's how you think about stuff, you're probably an entrepreneur. If you think about it and you're like, wow, that's a lot of risk, I don't want to take the risk, it's probably not for you. I don't know.
Yeah.
That's kind of a roundabout way of saying
I'm curious, do you have almost a systematic approach to really vetting ideas? Because of course, now that you've helped, you know, scale companies and built companies yourself, do you have any way that you look at startups as well as your own companies and the ideas that are constantly flowing through your day to day?
So we have a system here that we've developed where we call our 5 D's, and it's how we evaluate any if we're going to work with a company or if we're going to invest in a company. It comes back to these kind of 5 D's. And the first one is, how disruptive is your idea? Is it is it something that's just moderately more disruptive, or does it completely change the nature of what you're doing, of the industry? Is it something that's so much better that customers will actually use it? Because I think there's a lot of minor disruption that doesn't really pull in customers. There's not a real reason for a customer to use that. The second thing is, how big is the idea? We look at how democratic an idea is. Can you do all 300 million Americans need it? Or is it only 50,000 people? Is the cost or the, only applies to people who like to golf left-handed? Or, how big is your market? And for us, we want to go after massive markets. We want to go after 300 million people, 150 million people, because it's so much easier to sell something that 150 million people need than 10 million. The third thing we look at is, how demonstrable, how easy is it to show how much better the product is? Can people see it and get it immediately? Is there just an immediate snap? The fourth thing we look at is, how deliverable the product is. How easy is it to get to the consumer? And that can be either an online, or if you have a massive distribution network of sellers across the country, are you in big wholesale? How easy is it to get to that point where somebody can, they see the product, want the product, and buy the product? And then the last thing is, the last D is a marketing thing, where you have to have dollars for distribution, because you have to be able to spend to get the word out. And so, is it profitable to spend to get the word out for that product? So there's some price point factors there too.
What are you seeing is one of the biggest downfalls of founders that start companies that haven't properly allocated either the funding or really their marketing and distribution plan? Because of course you're a marketer, right? And you've used your team to help companies. So where's the downfall?
I think a lot of the downfall is the lack of, so kind of stepping back, I think what makes an entrepreneur successful versus what makes them not successful is their mindset. As dumb as that sounds, I think there's a whole kind of manifest destiny side to it, where if you're I'm going to be successful, you will break through whatever barriers, you'll find ways to make that work. You just will. You'll beat anything. You won't stop fighting until you get there. And I think that is the key for me is does somebody have kind of that feeling where they're it doesn't matter what happens, this is going to work. And not an unrealistic, at some point, the ships are burned, you have no money, you've been beaten up bad enough that it's all right, let's limp home. But it's really when you have an idea, if your failure is based we couldn't figure out how to market it, then you didn't really believe in the product. Because that all comes from the founder and the entrepreneur. All that energy that started around a brand comes from the entrepreneur. But on marketing, on that side of things, it's very fascinating to us. Is we'll talk to somebody who's I want to get to 20 million in revenue. It's great. You're going to have to spend, $5 million to get there. And they're just I can't spend that much money. It's then you're not going to get to 20 million in revenue. Because if nobody knows who your product is, they don't know how it works, they don't care. And the only way to get people to care is to get their eyeballs. And you have to spend money to do that. Whether you're paying influencers, Facebook, TikTok, using ad platforms, however you're doing it, you have to get the word out. And it costs money. And it costs capital, human capital, energy. And if you either can do that or you can't at the end of the day.
talk about your mindset and some of the things that you do maybe on a weekly or a monthly basis to make sure that you're refreshed and you're focused on getting back in the game, you know, regardless of what happens throughout your week, throughout your month. Everybody has their own way. How do you do that? But then also, how would you suggest other people out there to do that?
So I have a pretty strict morning routine. I'm a big time morning person. That, you know, my personality. I try to get up between 5 and 5:30 every morning. And the first like 10 to 20 minutes I meditate, and then I have a journal writing, like, just let me just empty everything that's in my brain, type of stuff. And then I read, I mean, I personally read religious texts, in the morning. It's a lot of just like finding what matters to you in that first hour and what keeps you going. And I mean, for me, like, I've had days where it's just a terrible day, and I'll sit down in my office and I'll be like, I just have to get to tomorrow morning. Cause I know that if I can get up early, meditate, do my journal writing, and then kind of have like a reading where I like a very introspective, honest, you know, hour with myself, and then I go exercise for a half an hour to an hour, that to me, it builds up so much momentum that no matter what I'm going through, no matter how terrible everything is, that hour like lifts me up. I've gone through some pretty terrible stuff for my own company in the last couple of years, litigation, you know, facing down bankruptcy and just crappy, terrible situations by taking risk, you know? And that morning became like the biggest part of my day. I would look forward to that hour with myself, quiet, in a quiet house in the morning, and just know that like, if I could get there, I can keep going.
Take us through a small little window there with the mindset that you went through and that you had through almost facing bankruptcy, or facing being a bankruptcy for that matter. And then, you know, cause there's levels of emotion that one goes mm-hmm. through, right? So take us through those levels of emotion and then how you built yourself back up. Cause many founders out there, they're either starting their company, they're running their company, or they've reached the precipice of maintenance, right? So let's walk us through that emotion.
That's interesting. So I think the biggest thing, at least for me, was like fear of failure. I think most entrepreneurs I know have a chip on their shoulder, or have, you know, like people don't believe in me type of mentality. You know, like people doubt me, people don't, you know, that I think most entrepreneurs kind of have that internal like struggle. And a lot of my emotions were connected to, I've done this for 4 years, this is who I am, and now it's all going away. And now everyone was right that knew I wasn't good enough. And I don't know if anyone's actually ever thought I wasn't good enough, but I think it's very easy in your head to be like, oh, they don't think I'm good enough, or they don't think I can do this, well, let me show them type of thing. And I think a lot of that failure was attached to like my ego and oh, people won't know, people will think I'm a loser or whatever, you know, my kids will struggle. Cause I have 4 kids and I'm married. And going through this, I have this big thing where I always want my kids to play a sport every season. They don't need to play year round, like one sport. They don't need to be like a superstar. It's just, they need to be active. They need to be out of the house. They need to be, you know, learning. And during this, like, basketball season was coming up and we couldn't pay for basketball season. So my kids couldn't play basketball that year. And it like crushed, of all the things that went on, that crushed me more than anything, because like I have 3 boys and a daughter, and my 3 boys love basketball season. That's like they're one of their favorite times of the year is to be on a basketball team, and we couldn't do that, and it crushed me. And it was embarrassing as a dad, you know, to feel that failure, to have your kids be like, oh, we just don't have money to do that, you know, they're having to carry that around with them. And I think that those, like that failure, what was interesting though, is you're like, oh man, everyone's going to hate me. Everyone's going to know I suck. But then you fail and you get on the other side of it and you're like, man, it's not that bad. Like, yeah, my kid's going to play basketball. We still wouldn't play basketball together, you know, as a family. We played a lot of basketball together. And, you know, Christmas wasn't great that year, but we had fun. And we still had good times. And it's like, okay, this is the, when you're in it, it sucks. Like, I'm not trying to diminish how terrible it was and like the rough nights and the tough conversations with my wife. But when you get to the other side of it, you're like, man, it wasn't so bad. You know, we failed again, like we've done that. Yeah. And it's like, we can do that. We did that. It's not that bad.
That is very, very inspiring. I know that that's one of the things that we're doing here, and that story resonates. And there's a lot of people out there that are going or have gone through certain things or will in the future. So you really need to prepare yourself, not for the negatives that are going to come, right?
Yeah.
But to prepare that mindset.
Yeah. So there's a guy, one of my mentors here, and we were talking, and I think a lot of times when you get entrepreneurship, you're like, oh, I'm going to be Phil Knight, or I'm going to be Bill Gates or whoever, Steve Jobs. And a lot of what we look at is like, oh, look where they're at now. So I'm going to start this company and it's going to be Nike, or I'm going to do this and it's going to take me wherever. And entrepreneurs don't really view their career as an entrepreneur, as I might do this for 3 or 4 years and then I'll probably do a different thing. And there's like building blocks, and you can kind of see this in most successful entrepreneurs have building blocks in their lives that lead up to their first success. Not everyone steps the home plate and hits a home run first time. A lot of people strike out, and they strike out in glorious fashion. Like their failures are just like very like painful to read about. But when you like have a failure with, like mine wasn't on the level of a lot of entrepreneurs, you begin to realize like, yeah, being an entrepreneur sucks. Like if you're going to do this, like it really sucks, but it's not, but like the only way you can be like committed to continually to get into like the suckiness is where you're just like, this is the only thing I can know. This is the only thing I'll be able to do. And so it's like that commitment to it just kind of carries you through.
Making decisions in life, as we all know, it's, if you make the decision in the morning and you say, I will have a good day or I will have a bad day. Yeah. It's interesting how that one simple decision that you make can transform your entire world.
Oh yeah.
What are some of the decisions that you make daily in your non-negotiable self-talk that really, like I said, continues to propel you where you're at today?
I think so. That's a good question. So I'm a very intense individual, I think just by nature, and I have a different way of, and I don't really know where this came from. I don't think, like I didn't grow up, like my parents didn't grow up playing sports. So it's not like it was something where we were like always playing sports, but I have like a very competitive, intense nature. And I remember, so my wife, about a little over 4 years ago, had really serious health problems. It's in the middle of when I was running my company. She had a heart attack and quadruple bypass surgery, almost died, should have died according to her doctor. And so I was working from home and just spent like 4 or 5 months at home helping. And you know, my wife around noon every day would be like, I'm just done. I gotta go lay down. And I was like, all right, you're done. Go lay down. I'm gonna step in. I'm gonna help with the kids, whatever needs to be done, make dinner, you know, do all laundry, clean the house, all that stuff. And so I was trying to run this company full-time and doing that. And I ended up spending like almost 4 months just at home, really. And we really didn't go anywhere because it was during like cold, you know, during the winter. So my wife couldn't get sick because she just had, you know, open heart surgery, and there's all these complications with it. And I remember one of the first days I went back to my office, I pulled up into the parking spot and I sat there and I said, And the first thought I had was like, oh no, I don't want to see anybody. Like I was afraid, like all of a sudden I was afraid to talk to people. And I've never had that feeling before in my life. And my first thought was, well, I better go find like 10 people to talk to and get out of this, because I don't know what this is. I've never. And so I just got out of the car and I just went and found people and was like, hey, how's it going? Haven't seen you in a while. And just kept it moving. And I feel like one of the things for me is whenever I feel like, oh, this is, I'm uncomfortable with this, I'm like, I better do this like 20 times so I'm not uncomfortable with it. And that's just kind of, that's not something I even think about. I don't consciously think through like, oh, I need to do something uncomfortable or I need to stretch myself. My mind just goes, if I feel uncomfortable, my mind is like, well, I better do that 10 times. Like I'm not comfortable talking to people I don't know. Well, let me go to every networking event I can. And my mind just goes to that. I don't have to like think through it. It's just like, I'm constantly trying to push myself out of my own comfort zone and try to improve and grow. That was a long answer.
The challenger in you. It's the challenger in you.
Yeah.
So many people out there. We want to inspire them to really create the Joseph May challenger in you. Let's coin the phrase, right? Yeah. But man, there's many people out there and they need that sense of, listen, I'm coming up against adversity, but let me push even harder through that adversity to create almost this habit to where every time that you come up against something that's a failure, you use that failure as fuel.
I think, and I don't even know where that came from. That just is something that has come out. Like as I've done this, I've noticed where it's like, oh, I don't like this, and I'll end up just like doing it. So unless
it's the overcoming attitude, right? I mean, it seems that you've experienced some really traumatic experiences, right, with even your family and then also in business. But really, that will propel and continues to propel you forward in a totally different manner, right? With this very motivated, ambitious, but then also this understanding and respect for life, right? And respect for what business is and what can happen in business. And that's what I'm noticing here. And it's really, it's inspiring.
Yeah. Well, thank you. Thank you. It's, I don't know. It's not inspiring when you're going through it.
No, it's not. And, you know, I have my own story, so I'm sure there's things that we can connect on and we'll talk about later. And really what that brings us to right now is this has been part one of the Founders Odyssey podcast with Joe May. And once again, we just want to thank you so much out there for coming in, hear a little bit of the backstory with Joe, because we know that there's way more to Joe than just the failures and the, you know, companies that have gone awry, and because he has so much more to offer and he is also already offering it now. So we're excited to hear that on our part two. So if you guys are out there and you want to know more, well, then you're going to have to stay tuned for part two with Joe on the Founders Odyssey podcast. Anything more that you'd like to say?
No, thanks for having me.
All right, guys. Well, stay in touch. If you like what you're hearing, feel free to subscribe and share with your friends. This has been the Founders Odyssey podcast. Stay tuned.